Let's go to prayer, and we will look together at the scripture. We thank you, O Lord, that we can gather in the light. Shine, Jesus, shine. We talk about a worship service, O Lord. May we always be reminded that the worship is given because of you serving us. May we be reminded that you are the light that shines, and we worship you. May we do that through the highest form of worship known, and that is to hear your word. And may your word and your word alone be heard. And may mine be kept at a minimum, simply pointing to the eternal one. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
We struggle with darkness. We have a love-hate relationship with darkness. Most of us don't like being in the dark, figuratively or symbolically. Some are fearful of the dark. But you also like the dark, don't you? My 11-year-old daughter can't stand the light at 5:30 or 6 in the morning when I need to wake her up. She wants more darkness. The scripture tells us that we love the darkness, for it our deeds are evil. And sometimes if you've got evil deeds or a dirty face or unclean hands, darkness is not as telling. When the light comes on, like cockroaches on linoleum, we can scatter. So we talk about liking the light, but if we're honest, it's sort of like honesty, right? Do you like honesty?
Sometimes.
No, all the time. Be honest about not liking honesty. There's sometimes a well-placed lie is what a wife is looking for. Correct. We don't always. And you're cringing because I'm being honest, but I'm being honest. And when it comes to light, it's the same way. We talk about the light. We think it's wonderful, brothers and sisters, but we have to look at it fully. And let's try to look at it. I was really blessed the last couple weeks just looking up most of the verses in the scripture about light. And I'm going to share some of these with you. But let's first of all say, what is light? In Isaiah 60, that Dave read for us, there are two words that are used in the English rendition that we read. It talks about light, and it talks about shining. It begins, arise, shine, for your light has come. And if you go through this passage in reading, the two words light and shine come from the same Hebrew word, and both of them are the same word that's used in Genesis 1:3, where at the very beginning, God said, let there be light. But it's an oddity in Genesis 1, that hopefully we'll look at in a few moments. Light is declared by God in verse 3. He says in Genesis 1:3, let there be light. But there's a little problem here. It's not until the 14th verse, or the fourth day, that God said, let there be stars and moon and the sun. So there's a dichotomy here. It's like, how can you have light without having the instruments of light? And what we see over and over is that what light is not contingent or dependent upon those givers of light, those reflectors of light, for what light is, as we will see, the very nature of God Himself. Mm-hmm. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. I went through and tried to break down, and we see that light is God's wisdom. Daniel 2 tells us, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. So wisdom is light. Knowledge is light. Favor of God is light. Psalm 4:6 says, "These are many who say, who will show us some good?" Even in the psalmist's day, there were lots saying, "We'll tell you what's good. We'll show you good. This is a deal you can't pass up." But he says, "Only you, O Lord, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord, and you have put us joy." We know that the word of God is light. We read often in Psalms, primarily Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp and a light." We even explicitly read in 1 John 1, verse 5, that God is light. God is light. But all of this is to say that all of those things equal Jesus Christ. For John 1, 9 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In verse 9 it says, "And Jesus came, and he was the light of the world." When Jesus began his ministry, he took the prophet of Isaiah that we've been reading through Christmas, and he said, "This is the beginning of my ministry." And he quoted that the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. On them has light dawned. In case they didn't get it, later in John 8, he will just come out and say, "I am the light of the world." So you get the point. Jesus is the light. But what does the light do? And that's where I want to focus this morning. The light has four aspects that I wanted to talk about. The first thing the light does is the light illuminates us. We are in darkness. We don't become in darkness. We were born in darkness. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, God says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light." Light is that which illuminates us, gives us the ability to see. We are born dark. We're born without the ability to shine light. Light has been shown in us. But what we need to understand is that light is given to see all other things by. Light is given so that you'll understand all other things. Has anything ever been a mystery to you, as we read in Ephesians 3, and then all of a sudden you became enlightened? And you had the ability to understand. Let me give you an example of the light. You go home tonight, and you walk into your garage, and you turn on the light. What are you going to see? Car. How many are you going to see? Junk. And boxes. And you quickly turn off the light. How many of you understand full well that that mess or that car was in there before you turned on the light? I mean, that's like a duh experience. We understand that. That our coming to knowledge doesn't make it so. It was so before we came to knowledge. That's very important when we talk about Jesus Christ being the light, because we do not make Jesus Christ the light. You know, I often will say, because I don't like the terminology and we hear it often, we do not make Jesus Christ Lord of our life. The truth of the matter is Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. But the light shines, and it would be better to say is recognize, become aware of the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. We become aware of those things. We don't create it. There's not this arrogance, "Well, now I understand it, and I'm not going to believe it's there until I understand it." Because faith is knowing that that mess is in the garage even if you don't see it, right? Just because you choose to turn the light off, just because we may choose to stay in some level of darkness, doesn't make it so or not so. It is so. The light gives us the ability. But brothers and sisters, isn't it like those visual puzzles that you look at, that you can't see it, but once you do see it, guess what you see? That's all you see, right? And you wondered, why did you not, how come you didn't understand this before? Why did it take you so long to see? And it has to do with light. And light illuminates us. But having illuminated us, light does something else. Light transforms us. Would you turn with me to Ephesians? Not the third chapter where David read, but turn to Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, we see Paul continuing this discussion, and he begins in verse 8. Or we will begin in verse 8. He's talking about how light transforms us after it illuminates us. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. You have been illuminated. You are light in the Lord. Walk or live out or practice as children of light. For the light of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, i.e. shine. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But whenever anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So the light transforms us, and then it transforms us and makes us new. It not only illuminates us, it transforms us. Paul knew this on Acts 9, chapter 9. He's walking along to persecute the unbelievers, the light comes, illuminates him, and then it transforms him, it remakes his identity, it makes him from Saul to the Apostle Paul. Let me give you another way of looking at it. You become, in time, transformed into what you behold. You become, in time, transform to look like what you behold. You know that verse a couple times it's mentioned where it says, be aware your sins will be shouted from the housetop? It isn't the picture of some punitive gossiper that's going to tell everyone else your sins. That's not the picture. The picture is more like if I told you this, behold, if you go home and every day you eat a dozen donuts, behold, that sin will be found out. Got the picture?
Oh, yeah.
We become transformed by what we behold. I used to live on a lake. It was a wonderful thing. The Baptist pastor had an apartment. I lived on it, and the backyard was on a lake. And he had this cool chair that floated. And one summer day after church, I came home and took my suit off and put on my bathing suit, and I'm out there in this chair. And I never use like that sun cream stuff. And I'm floating in this chair, and I have a book, and I have something to drink because I had a little drink holder, and I'm floating. It's a beautiful summer's day, and I don't have a shirt on, of course, and I fall asleep. And about 3 hours later, I woke up, and I bore the mark of that siesta for about a year.
Ouch.
Now, just like we get suntanned from being in the sun, brothers and sisters, the more we reflect upon the beauty and the light of Jesus Christ, the more we will reflect and be suntanned. There are no 12 steps to become more holy. There are no 15 exercises that you have to do to become a better disciple. There's no special thing that you have to do. You just have to behold Jesus Christ. Constantly stay in the light of the sun, and you will be transformed. You'll be mighty tanned. But then, it doesn't just stay there. The third thing, very quickly, that light does, it commissions us. It sends us forth. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We are to let people see our light, but I just said earlier that we're darkness. What good is in me? Paul said there's nothing good in me. So how can I let people see my light if I have no light? Well, have you ever seen a reflector at the end of a driveway? They're dark, aren't they? There's no good light in those reflectors. They are dark until when? Until the light shines upon them. And our light is a reflective light. This is what I told you we would go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, God is the light, but there are lesser lights that reflect the light of God. In the same way, in John chapter 1, John the Baptist is called the light, but he said he's not the light, he's simply a light that reflects the other light. And we are called to do that in areas that I cannot. I want you to know that you have a point of shining that no one else has. I could go and mention the different scenarios, workplaces, neighborhoods, family situations. Each one of us have a unique place to shine in this coming year. Not your light, but the light of Christ that reflects out. I love to do this, and it's irritating. And don't get excited. I'm not looking at my watch for the time. I'm looking to make the example. And I'll do this, and it's a devil in me, but do any of you still also enjoy like getting a reflection on your life, your and shining it on someone? Simple pleasure still excite me. And I'll do that. And in the same way, our discipleship, our witnessing, again, we don't need to find a 15-step way to be more evangelistic. Just take your spiritual watch and shine that light that Christ is shining on you. The joy that you know. Be sunny. Shine it where you are. And then the final thing where I want to close. If you'll turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 21. And maybe this is my favorite thing about life. Light draws us home. Like a moth that's drawn to a flame. Or like somebody walking out in the dark woods that finally sees the light of home. Or like that 7-year-old girl that walked from a plane crash, having lost all her family. But she saw a light. She walked toward the light. And walking toward the light, she went home. It drew us home, even in the difficulties of her situation. Look in verse 22 of Revelation 21. "And I saw no temple in that city," talking about the New Jerusalem. "I saw no temple in that city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day. And there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nation, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life."
Amen.
The light draws us home. That light was truly a rescue mission. It came not only to point us the way, it came to be the way. And being the way, it rescues us. And that light of Jesus Christ will lead us home. This is the word of the Lord. As Jesus said, "Do you believe it?" This is the promise of God. Do you believe it? Amen. Jesus Christ demonstrated that light shines in darkness. For in the darkest of nights, on that night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he said, having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Broken as the heavens were broken so that light could shine. The same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." And as we partake of the body and blood of Christ, so we partake of Christ himself in remembrance of him. Oh God, we thank you that we, in partnership with you, will commune with these elements of your body and your blood which you have offered to us. We will take and eat the very body and blood of Christ. In the same way, O Lord, may that light which is yours and yours alone shine in us. Shine in the darkness of our hearts. Illuminate us. Transform us. Send us forth the shine. And then, O Lord, in the eternal brightness of that new day, bring us home. We thank you, O Lord, for your promise. We take you at your word. We believe you through the Holy Spirit's ability and enabling us to believe. Amen.